can I ask you first of all about your fellow candidate Catherine Connolly's comments yesterday, drawing parallels between the current increase in military spending in Germany and the rearmament of Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Can I ask you for your thoughts on her comments and whether you agree with them?
First thing I'd say, from an Irish perspective, you know, we've had the Defence Commission who has looked at the Irish Defence Forces in terms of investment, so we can keep our seas safe and keep our peacekeeping roles up to speed, and that we have our troops appropriately equipped. From a European perspective, you know, if there's a conflict in Europe in terms of Ukraine, and those countries that are on the border of Russia, you know, need to look after their own welfare. So there is, I think, from a European perspective in defence, there is an understanding of why those countries might be investing in their defence and their protection.
And the parallel she drew with the spending on military in Nazi Germany?
Well, I think, you know, Germany is, and the rest of the European Union, you know, I'm very much an advocate of it. The European Union has been set up to promote democracy, to promote peace, but also Europe needs to defend itself.
And sorry, and just can I ask you to address her comments and what you think about them?
Yeah, I'm not going to Pascal to get involved in a tit-tat with any other candidates. From my perspective, you know, the European Union has been very clear in terms of the conflict in Russia. It needs to stop. You know, the European countries need to be able to defend themselves.
Can I ask you, just finally for myself, the material that was posted online in relation to you this week or earlier this week, one of the social media fora hasn't taken that down. I believe it's X or Twitter.
Yes.
Your reaction to that, and can I ask you to be specific about what legal letters you sent to them? What have you asked them to do, and what will you do if they don't do that?
Yeah, so it's been, you know, that was a very upsetting event, you know, Pascal, for the family, for my wife, for my children, and indeed for my friends. And, you know, I needed to stand up for them and for my friends indeed. But, you know, it is a wider societal problem. Online abuse, lies, misinformation, you know, can't be tolerated. And as a parent, and, you know, many parents looking in at this particular piece of footage, you know, we all have concerns in terms of our children, our teenagers. They use the social media on a regular basis, and whatever abuse is taking place, that can be very damaging to one's mental health. So I need to call out for what it is. It's completely unacceptable. In terms of the legalities, you know, I sent legal letters to the companies, and TikTok and Meta have taken it down. I'm interested to see what the other companies will do, and I've also engaged with Commissioner Lamont, which is the Media Commission, and they have been given new powers in recent times to deal with lies, misinformation and abuse on social media, so I expect action will be taken.
Have you threatened a lawsuit if X don't take it down?
No, at this particular moment we are engaged with the companies, and let's see what happens.
Have you set any time limit for stuff being removed?
I haven't, no. You know, some of the companies have engaged with us. We're engaged with the Media Commission. But the broad principle is that from a societal perspective, this needs to be zero tolerance here. You know, we have children, young adults, being affected by this every day, you know, from a mental issue perspective. And it needs to be called out for what it is. It's wrong.
How did it affect you personally?
Yeah, that's very upsetting when one's family and one's friends are involved. But it's not about me, it's about the wider societal impact. And, you know, this has in some ways been normalised, I think, and we need to call out what it is. It just can't happen. And we need to, you know, from the Media Commission perspective, they need to take a more active role.
Can I just ask you, in terms of the Honour, Women of Honour,
yes,
Commission investigation, you said you'd never witnessed anything like that in your own time in the Defence Forces. Were you surprised at the findings of the Commission?
I was horrified about them. You know, particularly for women who have committed themselves to Oireachtas na hÉireann, you know, sworn oath of allegiance, you know, wore the uniform. I wore that uniform in my cadet class with women, you know, on the island of Ireland and overseas with women who proudly wore the uniform of the state in terms of defence forces. It's absolutely shocking, horrific what took place. But you know, I support those women who have taken a very brave step. They have done the state some service. In terms of my time in my career, I had a very positive experience. But I understand that wasn't for everybody, and I'm encouraged that a tribunal has been set up so women can tell their stories and that action can be taken.
Were you ashamed of the Defence Forces that you served with for so many years that they were found to be culpable in this regard? How did you feel in that, in terms of, were you embarrassed over it?
I'm very proud of the service I did for the state for 20 years, but I'm shocked, horrified, so sad that these things took place. And those women have been so brave to take a step forward, and now we need to see concrete action taken by the tribunal.
Is it a stain in the name of the Defence Forces, the findings of the report? I mean, it's an unequivocal
it's shocking, and those of us who served with dignity and my time, and I can only be accountable for what I did in my time in Defence Forces, I'm responsible for those troops that I led and for those people that I served. It's shocking. It's horrific, and it doesn't reflect my time in the Defence Forces, but sadly some people had a really poor experience, and we support them and we look forward to see what the tribunal has to say.
And you're happy to meet with those women?
Yes, happy to meet with those women, yes, absolutely, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Could I ask you, if you're not elected president,
General,
I hope you will.
Yeah.
Will you
be
serving for TD in 4 years' time, or is this your one and only shot at politics?
You know, I'm not a politician. I'm somebody who served the state in different ways, and you can be frontline services, you can be in the Garda Síochána, you can be a nurse. There's many ways you can serve your state. I proudly served the state for 20 years in the uniform, 15 years as a senior public servant, volunteer my time in the most deprived area of the country, in Dublin's northeast inner city. I've been in Rwanda with Boher, that great charity where I've seen Kerry farmers give their livestock to help those who are needed. So that has been my service. My focus at the moment is over the next 4 weeks getting out. I was down at Clarin this morning. I'm in Tralee today. I'm just meeting people, sharing my story and listening. And that's one of the strengths, I think, of the presidency, is that I believe, in Ireland, I believe in the powerful force of a president. I'm a Republican. I believe in service to the state. I believe in serving people. I'm going to be an energetic, positive person, like today, amongst the people every day, visiting centres like we have here in Tralee Bay Wetlands. The great work they do from an ecological perspective and from activity perspective for people like myself. I'm going to be up in the climbing wall very soon. Hopefully, it won't come down. I will champion the great things that are done in Ireland, and I'll also give a voice for those who are disadvantaged and mightn't have a voice. And I'll champion abroad the beautiful countryside here we have in Kerry.
When will you apologise to the people of Kerry for winning 5 months?
Yeah. Well, my father, I am born on the east coast of Ireland, but my dad and my mum come from County Clare. And they moved to, my father drove a lorry, and my mum was a school teacher, and they moved in 64. Dublin was very good to them. I was proud to represent my club, Round Towers, in Clontarf, one of the oldest clubs, founded in 1884. We haven't won the championship yet, though, but we are trying. And very proud to represent Dublin. But my father in the street leagues, he used to run for the local club. Used to have street leagues in the town, and he won 10 in a row. So after 5, he said I had to give up. But I just want to congratulate Kerry on your success to be National League Munster Provincial Champions and Ireland Champions. It's a phenomenal year. Phenomenal players, and I was lucky as well. Like Jack, he's got great players, and you've got a fantastic coach in Jack and a manager, and I do wish you the very best. We play great football.
Two very quick questions. Thank you very much, Jim. First of all, a voter pact with Heather Humphreys, that would make a lot of sense. Your supporters giving her number 2 and vice versa. What's the likelihood?
I'm canvassing for myself, Jim Gavin. I'm not a politician. I'm presenting myself as raw as it is to the Irish people. I've completed close to 4 decades of service to the state. I'm very proud of that, and I'm canvassing for people to give as I walk the streets in Killarney this morning, meeting people in the shops and in Tralee now, it's give Jim your number 1.
And you're in Listowel later, you'll be at the Listowel races. Will you be visiting any of the areas affected by last November's flooding following Storm Bert?
First of all, going to Listowel races I'm looking for Dara O'Shea. He was here this morning giving me some support, and he's got a lot of tips there and a little notepad for me, so I'm looking forward to meeting the people in Listowel. In terms of the flood damage, I'm sure along the way if you get an opportunity, I'd love to visit that. But
a lot of people here have been very grateful to you for the change of rules.
They have been, they have been, and we were given a remit, not mine by the way, it's a former President McAleese is running a a project to blend in the four codes that we have in our sport: ladies football, men's football, camogie, and hurling. And that aspiration for the association is that Gaelic games is in the four codes will become the greatest amateur games in the world to play and watch. And I think that's a phenomenal aspiration. We were asked to look at the one element of that, the football bit. You've got your own county man here in Eamon Fitzmaurs, who I didn't know. We were shouting down the sidelines at each other over the years and played some great games managing both counties, but I've got to know Eamon really well, and you're just so lucky to have him. Phenomenal brain, I suppose, in terms of tactical brain, in terms of the game, but what a man, just a pure gent. And we had a bunch of people: Colm Collins, obviously James Horan, Malachy O'Rourke, and a whole host of other people who contributed to it. So the rules definitely have suited Kerry, we can see that. And we're reporting now next week to Special Congress to adopt them in full and all those changes that were made. But it is a iterative process. We don't need to wait for another 10 years for a football review committee. We'd hope that the association, because next Saturday, you know, we're off the stage and we let the games get on. But go back to Kerry. You played some great football this year. Great to see the skills of the game. Last year's All-Ireland final in 2024, I think there was maybe 1 2-point score by the two full forward lines in both teams. That's six forwards. This year, I think there's 24 points scored. So that was an endorsement, not so much the rules, but of the talent that we have. And these rules are designed to showcase the great skills of Gaelic football.